As we mentioned earlier, private contractors also figure in the story of Abu Ghraib prison and the abuses committed there. According to the report of U.S. Army Major General Antonio Taguba, there were employees of two private contractors involved in the interrogations at the prison, CACI of Arlington, Virginia, and Titan of San Diego. Peter Singer of the Brookings Institution is the author of Corporate Warriors, The Rise of the Privatized Military Industry. He joins us now. Welcome once again, Peter Singer.
Thank you for having me.
I spent the day browsing CACI's website, looking at the job database, and they've been offering jobs to people who are interrogators. It says, under moderate supervision, provide intelligence support for interviewing local nationals, assistant team leader, junior counterintelligence agent. Since when did these become jobs for private contractors as opposed to U.S. intelligence agencies?
This is really a new development, at least within U.S. warfare. We've never seen private military contractors used in so many roles in Iraq and as interrogators truly pushes the envelope of this. This is something that you didn't see even in Vietnam, for example. And there's a lot of concern here on whether this is an appropriate role in the first place, and then also where was the supervision, because at least in the Major General's report, he says it was absent.
According to CACI International, the company issued a statement today saying that it does not condone, tolerate, or in any way endorse illegal behavior on the part of its employees, and said it had never seen the Taguba report. But we don't know much about these operations. They're intended to be kept rather quiet, I assume.
Well, that's the whole rationale for using these firms, is that a lot of people focus on the financial cost side of it, but it's really about the political costs, which is why we've seen such a rise in this industry, is that it allows you to shift certain roles that might be controversial or certainly carry great cost to them in terms of the politics of it, the optics of it. And by shifting it to the private companies, you remove some of those weights. And it's not just in terms of the activities, but also, for example, Titan, which is another company that's been implicated here. Titan has lost 14 personnel killed in Iraq so far, which don't count against the public ledger.
And we should point out it is the individuals who have been implicated. But that raises a question. When a soldier is implicated, he might face or she might face a reprimand, conceivably a court-martial. In the case of one employee of CACI, General Taguba suggested he be dismissed from his job. Who's in charge here? That is, who is in charge of discipline of a private contractor working with the military at a place like Abu Ghraib?
That's the very problem, is no one's in charge. There is an absolute lack of rules and regulations and monitoring and oversight of this industry, and the result is basically a gap in the law where the private military personnel who have been implicated in this are being treated differently than the U.S. Army personnel who have been implicated. 17 U.S. Army personnel have been removed from their jobs. Six have been court-martialed. The contractors that were involved, basically the Army said, quote, we had no jurisdiction over them. And the incidents they've been involved in are pretty pretty serious stuff. One civilian contractor is even accused of raping a young male detainee. But we've left it up to the companies to decide, which is clearly insufficient for a felony offense. And then it remains to be seen how the companies have responded. They've not said publicly yet whether they've even fired the personnel.
Back to the job descriptions online from CACI. If you're going to be hired as a senior intel analyst by CACI for Baghdad, you have to have a top secret clearance. To be a senior CI agent, you need a secret clearance. People don't acquire clearances like that in graduate school. We're obviously talking about people, and they're expected to have some experience in these fields. So they must be coming out of the service or the intelligence agencies.
Yes, typically you're talking about people with a military or a other government agency background, CIA, NSA, or DIA. Now, what's interesting about some of the contractors that were named in the report is at least one of them did not have a security clearance, even though they were involved in these sensitive interrogations. And that was something that the general found to be a problem. And it points to one of the issues that's taken place in this industry is that the labor market may no longer be able to fulfill the demand. They may be pulling in people simply who don't have a good reason to be there, that haven't been clearly vetted, that don't have the experience and expertise that's necessary.
But are they pulling in people who until a couple of years ago were doing the same thing, either in uniform or in the employ of an intelligence agency?
In some cases, yes. I mean, it's tough to figure out. We know some of the backgrounds of the civilian contractors involved in this case, and we don't know the other backgrounds. But as a general rule, people in this industry are defined by the job that they used to have while in government service. And so it's an interesting phenomenon where we train up the human capital, and then it's built back to us by these companies that leave. And there's a concern at a broader level of what it means for retention. The pay that private contractors receive in Iraq is quite lucrative, anywhere from 2 to 10 times the amount that you would make within government service. And it's definitely affecting recruiting and retention in certain military areas, most particularly within elite forces.
Peter Singer of the Brookings Institution is the author of Corporate Warriors, The Rise of the Privatized Military Industry. Thank you very much for talking with us.
Thanks for having me.